It took me 2 years to get a full-time job. It is so hard to come by a full-time job. Nah, scratch that. It is so hard to come by job in general in New York because the market is very competitive. And companies also don't, they lean more towards hiring interim position than full-time position, because going the interim way saves them a lot of money as compared to a full-time employment. Because if you employ someone full-time, you have to like keep training them for as long as they're with you, or for as long as they're with the company, and you also have to like provide them with benefit. And then because a number of New Yorkers do or work 3 to 4 jobs to survive, there's also a market for part-time jobs. So companies are like taking advantage of like that need and saving the company some money. Or companies look to like, you know, make money. So it's like a win-win situation for them. Which is the reason why I worked 2 odd jobs before I landed like my full-time job, which I'm grateful for and pays well enough for me to be able to live the kind of lifestyle that I live here in New York. It's nothing extravagant, but it's very good. I like it. And this episode is going to be more of like a story time of me sharing 1 or 2 odd jobs that I did, what happened in those jobs, and how I maneuvered my mind away from the mentality of just, you know, working to survive and making money and just taking in a lot of rubbish. You hate your job, but then because it pays well and everybody's here to hustle, you'd be like, okay, well, I'll just do it. But I know deep down in my heart, if I'm back home in my country, I wouldn't do it. And I feel like that's the situation of most immigrants that come here. The first thing that someone who is moving away from their country to a new country to see greener pastures thinks about is money, 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 money. I'm not sure they're thinking about, oh, let me find a job that I love and I can make money from. And I don't know why some people choose to be in that mentality, but I believe you don't have to stay in that mentality for the rest of your stay in whatever country you find yourself in. And I'm going to share what I did to be able to maneuver from that mindset and eventually find myself in a position where I love what I'm doing and then it's making me good enough money to be able to sustain the type of lifestyle that I want in New York. Hi, I'm your host Farida Yusuf, a Ghanaian Nigerian first generation immigrant navigating New York City through the viewpoint of an African. You're welcome to the African Immigrants Viewpoint Podcast. So I worked 2 odd jobs. One, I quit that same day, and the other I did for almost 7 months before I finally gave up and resigned. I call them odd jobs not because they're like these really terrible or horrible jobs. I know there are people who are doing these jobs and then they enjoy it, but then for me, I didn't have the capacity physically and mentally and emotionally to like, you know, do those jobs, because I'm not the type of person that would choose money over my physical well-being and my mental well-being. I know some people wouldn't mind like giving up their physical well-being and mental well-being because they don't have any other option in this capitalist world that we live in. And for me, I was able to do all those things because I had a little bit of support. And I know a lot of immigrants don't have that support. I was living with my dad. I had a place to, like, you know, sleep. I wasn't paying rent. I wasn't paying for food. So it was easy for me to say, I can't take this. I'm going to quit and look for something else. I know I am privileged in that regard, and I'm not trying to sound insensitive to people who don't have such privileges. But if you're someone who is listening to me and then you have such privileges in terms of like, oh, you just move into a new country, you have a place where you can rest your head and you can get food, and even if like you're not completely like resting your head for free, you don't pay something too much that you cannot afford. But I'm also trying to reach out to people who are in a difficult situation doing a job that they don't like, but they have to be in that job because it's their only source of income for survival and for the survival of people who depend on them back home. If you're that person and you don't like your job currently and you feel like you can do something else but you don't know how to go about it, I hope my story and the tips that I share from my experience can help you figure out a way to find something that you would enjoy or explore things that you would enjoy that could make you money. Okay, now let's get into like my first story. The very first odd job that I got was a job that was titled Associate Sales Executive. When I saw the job posting and then I read through it, I was like, oh, this is something that I could do. And it looked and sounded legit because I did like the background check-ins and everything. And I applied for the job and they called me in for an interview. So I spoke to my brother. He was like, do you really want to do this? And I'm like, what does he mean by that? And he said he knows what this job is and he knows that it sounds like this job that you would sit in the office and not have to do much and just talk to people, but it's not, the job is not what it says it is. I'm like, why is he saying that? And then he's had like a similar experience with a job, like that same job title and that same job description. And because of how optimistic I was and how eager I was to like just make money and not be at home, I was like, oh, maybe the one that you go to is a little bit different from like this job. Maybe it's two different things. And him being the supportive brother that he was, it was like, okay. The job description and how I was supposed to dress and appear for the interview was professional, like look, like a suit or a blazer, office pants and skirt. And I didn't have all of that. So my brother was like, okay, let's go to the mall and get you something. So I went with him and then I picked out like a few official looking outfit. I got the email to come in for the interview on a Friday and I was supposed to go on a Monday. So on a Monday, yeah, I was all dressed up, looking all professional, ready to conquer the world. And I got there and then I went to the reception and I told the lady why I was here. She asked me to like take a seat. I sat down and I was waiting to be called for the interview. And as I sat down, people started like coming and people that I believe worked there, all dressed in their suits and pants and really polished shoes. They look very professional. I was like, ooh, this is very nice. This is how I'm going to be dressed, and I'm going to like be working with all these professional looking people. And as I sat there admiring like just how they were interacting with each other and how well dressed they looked, I realized some of them were changing from their shoes to sneakers, but I didn't understand why they were changing from their shoes and their heels to sneakers. And just before I could ask the receptionist, because she was nice, I was like talking, I was chit-chatting with her. And just before I could ask her what was going on, it was my turn to go in for the interview. So I got up and then I went into this nice looking office. It was this really petite, beautiful lady, sitting in front of me, and then she welcomed me in. She asked me to tell her about myself and like my experiences and then my skills. So I told her everything, my skills, my qualifications, my experience. She was like, oh, that's very nice. She was very sweet, very welcoming, smiled throughout like all like the smiled throughout the interview phase. And she even told me that she's been to like one of, I don't remember the country, but it's one of the neighboring countries in Ghana, either like Cote d'Ivoire or Benin or something. She says she went there for an exchange program for college or like some missionary work, I don't remember. So she was just saying like how beautiful the country was, blah blah blah. And after she was done with the interview and everything, I asked her what the next step was, and she said the next step is if I was up for it, I would have to shadow someone for today and see how I do per the person's like the person would have to like, you know, come back and be like, oh well, during the shadowing or like during Farida working with me today, I believe she's fit for the job, I believe she can do the job. I'm like, oh wow, did I just like pass the first interview just like that? Am I this good? I was like so excited. And then she asked me, and I told her that yes, I can do it. So she asked me to follow her outside, and then she introduced me to this young man called Rodrigo or Rodriguez. I don't quite remember his name. And she said, this is who I was going to be shadowing. And I'm like, okay. So he introduced himself, and I also introduced myself. And he looked at me, and then he asked me this question. He said, is this the only shoe you brought into work today? In my head, I'm like, what kind of question is this? I didn't understand. Like, so I told him, yes, this is the only shoe that I brought. This is a shoe that I brought in to work. Was I supposed to like bring in another pair of shoes? I didn't say that. I said that in my head. And he asked me if I was, no, I said the part that like, this is the only shoe that I brought to work, but I didn't say the part that like, well, like, was I supposed to bring another shoe to work other than this? I said that to myself in my head. I didn't want to appear like a smart mouth or like a rude person or whatever. I was on my best behavior. And he asked me if I was comfortable in those shoes. I'm like, yes, I'm comfortable in those shoes. They were a 3-inch block heels. Those are comfortable shoes to walk in for me. I was like, okay. And was like, I should grab my bag. We're going. I'm like, where are we going? He was like, we are going to do the job that I am applying for. I'm like, outside? Because then in my head, I thought I was going to be sitting behind a desk talking to people, trying to like, you know, get them to be interested in whatever the company was selling. So we walked, and then we took the train, and the train, we were chit-chatting, was asking me about myself, my long-term goal, my short-term goal, da-da-da-da. And asked him, what are we going to do? And he said, we are going to be trying to sell stationeries to people, like, in a bulk. Like, we're going to work from shops to shop, office to office, trying to sell stationery to these people for a good price, but not just like one pen or like one eraser, but like in bulk. I'm like, huh? So we got off the train in some neighborhood and we started walking. I was walking behind him, and then whenever we entered a shop, I was standing beside him just watching and listening to how he interacted with the people and what he said to them, because I was learning. And somewhere at the back of my mind, I still had hope that like this is something that I could do. Until that hope evaporated after working for 4 to 5 hours straight, listening to him say the same thing over and over to people. And at that point, I knew that I don't think I could do this. I don't think I could do the walking part. I don't think I can do the talking part. This is not something I see myself doing. At a point, I was tired. I was mentally tired. I was physically exhausted. And I was just, I was walking behind him. He didn't even know I was, like, you know, lagging behind. And then he turned and then he saw me lagging behind. And he was like, why, are you tired? I'm like, isn't that obvious? I didn't say that to him. I said it in my head. I'm like, isn't it obvious? But then I told him, like, but I told him that I was tired. And he said, don't you walk like this all the time where you come from? I was just too tired to get angry at his ignorant comments. And I just explained to him that before coming to this country, I had a good job that didn't require me to walk every freaking day for 4 hours straight. And the longest I walk in a month is 1 hour to 1 hour 30 minutes, at most 2 hours when I'm in the market. And he was surprised. He was looking at my face. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, what do you... I was just so exhausted to just, like, you know, engage him. They're like, where did he learn that from? I just explained to him that, like, I don't walk like this. And I was like, oh, it's okay. We are going back. We just have, like, one more stop before we go back to the office. And okay, and I was like, okay, no problem. So we did that stop, and then we hopped on the bus, and then we went back to the office. And when I got to the office here, I was sitting in front of the lady. And I think I sat at the reception for a while, and all the salespeople that went out that day had to go back to the lady and some other guy to give them a report of how many people they got to work with them and buy stationeries from them, or just the report of their day. After they were done with that, she called me in together with another guy. I was so tired that my body and mind was not present in that moment, in that room. All I was thinking about was how I can't wait to get home and take a long shower and just collapse on the bed and sleep. So when they were telling me, they're like, oh, Rodrigo or Rodriguez said you did a good job and then we are offering you the job, I wasn't there. And they had to, like, you know, bring me back in the room by saying, are you not happy you got the job? I just stared at them like a blank stare. And I'm sure they could tell that, like, I wasn't happy and I wasn't going to stay there or, like, just come to work the following day or take the job because of my response. I was like, oh yeah, I'm happy. Like, my tone was so flat. I wasn't excited. I was tired. And I was like, okay, see you tomorrow then. I'm like, yeah, see you tomorrow. I go home and I told my brother everything that happened. He laughed so hard and then shared his story with me. He had a similar experience, but then for him, he didn't work for, like, hours like I did. He stood in the cold and he was passing out flyers to people. And they compensated him with a slice of pizza and then told him that his salary is going to be commission-based. So the more people he got to come to the company and then buy from them or, like, work with them, the more money he made. And I'm like, oh my God, I should have listened to you. But then I'm glad I didn't listen and I experienced this. So I was supposed to report to work the following morning. I was just lying in bed and I got a text from the guy that I shadowed. It was like, are you coming in? And I sent him a long text explaining to him why this job is not for me. And he sounded very disappointed. It was like, oh, he's disappointed in me. He saw me to be someone who is a go-getter and loves challenges. I'm like, bruh, this is not the type of challenge I'm looking for. I'm not looking to, like, wake up from Monday to Friday and work 4 to 5 hours a day and hope that someone wants to buy stationeries just so I could make money. So yeah, I didn't, that's how, so that was, like, my first job. Like, I got the job that day, but then I didn't show up for the job because I didn't see myself doing it. The second job I got through an uncle. He came to visit us one day and I told him that I was looking for a job and he asked me what kind of job. I'm like, I'm just looking for a job. I don't want to be in the house and having to wake up in the morning and watch everyone leave and not have money to do things or buy things that I want. So he said, okay, where he's working, they're currently employing seasonal workers I'm like, what is seasonal workers? It's like, oh, you're not full-time. It's just like, you know, for a certain amount of period, but the money is good. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he said, okay, he's gonna, I'm saying a lot of okay, but so he said he was going to reach out to the lady and then tell her that I was interested, and then she's going to give me a text or a call. No, actually, he actually gave me her number and asked me to text her that I was interested in the job. So I texted her and I introduced myself and I told her how I got her number and what I was looking for. And she gave me an address to go to an office and tell them why I'm there. And they would give me a form to apply to the job. I got there, I applied for the job, and it was a seasonal job, but then they have different positions. But my uncle told me to go for the pest control position because it was the position with less work and then it paid better. So I applied for that, and in less than 2 weeks I got the job. And I, the day of the job, I went there, they trained us on how to, so basically my role in that job was to kill rats. New York City has a rat problem. So it was basically to kill rats and then apply poisons in the holes. I wasn't part of the people that apply the poison into the holes that the rats make from the outside to get into the buildings. I was part of the people that covered up the holes after the people who applied the poison came in to put in the poison. And that wasn't the only thing that I did. So I had days that I covered up the holes and tried to use my shovel to kill a rat when I see a rat. It was part of my job. I was killing rats for a living. Who would have thought, hey, from a promising journalist to someone killing rats in New York City? So part of my job was to go to the compactor room and then sweep under the compactor and then clean the compactor. Oh my God, it was disgusting. The compactor room was disgusting. The compactor room is, so like in the buildings, they have like a rubbish chute. It's like a place that you open and then you dump your garbage, your trash, and it goes down to the compactor, and the compactor compresses it and they take it out and then they dispose of it. That wasn't even the worst part of the job for me. So they have this thing that they did where I think once every month they would gather all the seasonal workers and then we would go to a building. It was the project. I don't know if you know what the projects are, the projects of New York, but they're just houses that the government subsidize for people who don't have a high income or people that are not even working at all. So the seasonal workers go there. I'm part of the seasonal workers. And I would rake leaves. Raking leaves in the cold, standing on my feet and bagging these leaves from the time we get there, which is usually like 9, 10, I will rake from 9, 10 to like 12, and then I will take a break. And after the break, I continue raking until the end of the day, which is 4. I'm like, what is this? I am better than this. And also physically, I couldn't take it. Like, it was freezing cold and I'm raking leaves and bagging leaves, something that I would never do in Ghana, even if you were gifting it to me. And it was during the times that I was standing in the cold and like in the compactor room cleaning the disgusting liquids that were coming out of, like, you know, the compactors, that I was like, Farida, you have to figure a way out of this. Don't think about the money, because the money was good. It was good money. I'm like, do not think about the money. You need to figure out a way out of this. So I was like, what do I want to do? I knew I didn't want to work as a journalist in New York City. I didn't want to work in a media house, but I also knew that I wanted to work in production, short films, documentary, anything that had to do with, like, you know, camera and just producing like an event or a program or something, I just knew I wanted to do that. So it was like, what is the first step? Find a course, find a program I could take so that when I apply for that position, they know at least went to school for it. And I also have a background in journalistic work, which included me producing features, editing audio, and producing a show. So I searched the internet and I found a one-year program in television and film essential that NYU, New York University, was offering. It was a one-year TISH program, and it wasn't for free, but then I had money to be able to afford the one-year program. I registered and I applied and I got into the program. And I was doing the program as I was doing this job that I hated so much. So every day when I go to work and something happens at work, I'm doing something that I am not enjoying, I comfort myself with the fact that, like, just a little bit longer, you're taking this course so you could leave here and find something that you enjoy that makes good money also. So I used to use that to comfort myself, and that's what I want to say to anybody who is listening to me who is an immigrant and then is doing a job that they don't like. There are a lot of people who are doing jobs that they don't like, but then it's good money. You don't have to, but then if that's what you want to do, that's also fine. But all I'm saying is you don't have to. Sit with yourself and think of the things that you would want to do, that you would love, that would make you good money. And find it. You left your country to come to a country of opportunities. So why would you be stuck at a job that you don't like? What happens to like exploring all the opportunities that made you leave your home country to a foreign country? Don't do that to yourself. Be at that job if it's your only source of income and you need to survive. Be at that job. But then as you're at that job, look into other things that could get you into the things that you want to do. Take a short program. Take a short course. Here in New York, a lot of people take short courses and then they divert from careers or path that is not serving them, and then they end up doing things that they love. And that's what I did. I didn't want to be stuck at this job that I hated doing so much. And I worked my mind into finding what I really want to do and then doing the work of researching where to find it. And I combined the two. It's not easy, but nothing in life is easy. If you want the best for yourself, it's not like you have to go the extra mile. And that's what I did. I remember when I was like doing this pest control job, I didn't know my dad hated it so much until I had a conversation with my mom. And then my mom was saying that my dad is like really sad and upset, and he feels some type of way because he sees me in the morning going to work with a shovel, and like he sends me to university and paid all that money only for me to come to this country and then be doing shovel work. But what he didn't understand that, like, I didn't want to be doing the shovel work, but the shovel pest control work, but I needed to survive. I needed to like make money because I can't solely depend on him. He's already doing a lot. He's paying the rent, buying food. I'm an adult. It makes me feel useless just being in the house and not doing anything. So I explained to her that, like, it's not like I enjoy what I'm doing, but I am working on other things to get out of there. But because I didn't know that, they wanted me to go into nursing, because a lot of Africans come, some Africans that I know, once they get here, like, the next path to take is into nursing. And I get it. Nursing is a secured job, good job. And for me, it wasn't even that. Like, I cannot stand the sight of blood or seeing people in pain. I know if I just succumbed to the pressure and taken the advice, I would torture myself the entire time I'm working as a nurse. And then that's what I was trying to, like, you know, get myself out of from the job that I was currently doing while taking this film course, because I didn't want to torture myself. So you would have people give you advice to go into jobs that they know that, like, it's secure and then you can make good money. But also think about it. Is it something that you want to do? Is it something that you know deep down that, like, okay, if I do it, I'll be happy with myself? If you know you can live with yourself doing something that you are not happy doing, but it makes good money, fine, take that route. Take that route. But then if you cannot, explore all the opportunities that you had in your mind to look into that made you leave your country to this country. Do it. I've been talking for so long. I'm going to end here. But in conclusion, you don't have to do a job you don't like just because everyone's saying that it's going to make good money or just because it's making good money. You can stay there for the meantime whilst you're working towards something that you know will be better for you. And it is possible. Like, my story and then my journey is a testament that it is possible. And if you stick with me through this journey of me exploring New York City as an African immigrant and exploring the city with other African immigrants who have been here and they've achieved the American dream or the Aboriginal dream, you will know that it is possible. Thank you for tuning in into the African Immigrants Viewpoint. I hope you enjoy this dive into the life and experiences of an African immigrant navigating the vibrant chaos of New York City. If you found something relatable or insightful or just funny, don't forget to subscribe to the African Immigrants Viewpoint on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and anywhere that you listen to your podcasts. And leave a comment on Spotify. I think you can do that. And you can also follow the African Immigrants Viewpoint podcast on Instagram at the African Immigrants Viewpoint to keep the conversation going and growing. Until next time, keep being your amazing, multifaceted self. I'm Farida Youssef, and I cannot wait to share with you more stories, experiences, helpful tips, and resources with you in the next episode. Stay curious and stay connected.